You are listening to the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry podcast. The mission of the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry is to encourage Christians and non-believers to study the foundational principles in the Bible to be able to know what you believe and why you believe it. Our mission is to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ and to become more effective witnesses and save souls for Christ. Ephesians 4:11 and 12. And now we have Dr. Ben Pennington, founder and president of the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry.
In today's lesson, Jacob has returned home safely from Esau and his uncle Laban, just as God had promised him. Will Jacob keep his vow to worship the God he met at Bethel? There are lessons we can learn from Jacob regarding keeping vows and worshiping God. Welcome, everyone, to the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry, Jesus in Genesis podcast. My name is Dr. Ben Pennington, and I am so glad that you are with us today. Please tell a friend, and please share this podcast. Our mission is to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ and to become effective witnesses and save souls for Christ. We want you to study to show yourself approved by God. We want you to always be ready to give a defense to anyone that asks about the hope that is within you. And we want you to know what you believe, and we want you to know why you believe it. Our ministry podcasts are covering lessons on foundational biblical doctrines and principles in the Bible, from the doctrine of creation in Genesis to return of Christ in the book of Revelation. And you can subscribe and access all of our previous broadcasts, podcasts, and Bible lessons on our Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry website at www.foundationalbtm.org. Our Bible lesson podcasts are also available on your favorite podcast stations. So let's start with a few scriptures. Let's go to John 5. John 5, verses 46 and 47. And this is Jesus Christ talking to the non-believing Jews. And he said, "If you believe Moses, you would believe me, because Moses wrote about me. If you don't believe the writings of Moses, how will you believe my words?" One more scripture in Luke. Luke 24, verses 27, and then verses 44 and 45. This is the resurrected Jesus Christ. "Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. And Jesus said to them, 'These are my words which I spoke with you when I was still with you, that everything written about me, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms." By the way, he's talking about the entire Old Testament. "Everything that was written about me concerning me must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds that they might understand the scriptures. So what am I saying? I'm saying that Jesus Christ stated that the Old Testament are his words. Jesus Christ stated that the Old Testament was written about him. In our Jesus in Genesis series, we're studying the entire book of Genesis, chapter by chapter, and pointing out the work of Jesus Christ and the implications of the work of Jesus Christ in our COVID-19 pandemic world we live in today. God's word is just as relevant, and God's word is just as needed today as it has ever been. God's word will not come back void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will open our minds so that we too might understand the scriptures. So let's get started. We've titled today's lesson, Genesis 34 and 35, Jacob Worships the God of Bethel. In our previous lesson, Jacob had deceived his father Isaac and had obtained his firstborn brother Esau's blessing. Esau had threatened to kill Jacob. Jacob fled to Padan Aram to live with his mother's brother Laban until Esau cooled off. On his way to his uncle's home, he stopped at Bethel. He had a dream there and saw God standing on a ladder or staircase that connected heaven and earth. God identified himself to Jacob as the God of Abraham and Isaac. God repeated the promise to Jacob that he had made to Abraham and Isaac, that his seed would be blessed and that in him all of the nations would be blessed. And God promised that he would protect Jacob and would bring him back in peace to his father's house. And Jacob vowed that if God would make good on his promises, that he would serve him. God did what he said he would do. And now here we are 20 years later, The God of Bethel is telling Jacob to return to his father's home. God had blessed Jacob, and Jacob was very, very rich and had a large flock of sheep, camels, and donkeys, and many servants. He had two wives, 11 sons, and a daughter. So let's pick up now in Genesis 34. Let's start at verses 1 through 4. And the first thing that happens when he gets back home is his daughter Dinah is raped by Shechem, the son of a Hivite prince. Shechem tells his father he wants to marry Dinah. Rather than chastise or discipline his son, Hamor, and that's the father of the rapist, spoke with Jacob about the crime his son Shechem had committed. And Jacob's sons became very, very angry and indignant. So now I'm in verses 8 through 10. Hamor tells Jacob that his son wants to marry Dinah and asks Jacob's permission for his son Shechem to marry Dinah. Hamor also proposes that the Hivites and the children of Israel intermarry and live together in the region as peaceful neighbors. So let's do a flashback right now before we go any further with this intermarrying and living peaceful with the Hivites. Let's go back to Genesis 24, verses 2 through 4. And if you remember, Abraham now is very old and nearing death, and he made his servant promise to God that he would not allow his son Isaac to marry a Canaanite woman. He made his servant promise to go back to his country and to his people to get a wife for Isaac. One more flashback. The same thing that Abraham had proposed that Isaac would do, would marry his own people and not a heathen or a Canaanite. The same thing happened in Genesis 28, verses 1 and 2. Isaac was very old. He charged Jacob not to marry a Canaanite woman. And Isaac charged Jacob to go to his mother's house and take his wife from there, one of the daughters of Laban, his mother's brother. So you had this from Abraham charging Isaac, and now Isaac charging Jacob, and now Jacob is home and his daughter's being raped, and he has a decision to make. But before we go back to the decision that Jacob made, let's fast forward to Deuteronomy 7:15. This is Moses talking now. And Moses is warning the Israelites that when they enter the promised land, that they are forbidden to intermarry with the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Why? Because they would serve idol gods and God would destroy them quickly. So now let's go back to Genesis 34. I'm in verses 11 through 14. Shechem wanted to marry Dinah, that's Jacob's daughter, and offered that the price would be as high as Jacob had asked. Jacob's sons were very angry and deceitfully argued that they couldn't agree with this because the Hivites were uncircumcised. In verses 15 through 17, Jacob's sons will agree for Dinah to marry her rapist only if the Hivites agree that every male would be circumcised. And if they refuse, they would take Dinah and leave. And by the way, in Genesis 17:10, that's when God had made with Abram at that point the covenant of circumcision that all the male descendants of Abram would be circumcised. And God changed Abram's name in Genesis 17:10 to Abraham. So that's where the whole issue of the covenant of circumcision began. And now Jacob's son were saying that these Hivites were uncircumcised and we will not agree for Dinah to marry the rapist unless the Hivites agree that every male will be circumcised. So now we in Genesis 34, verses 18 through 20. So Hamor speaks to the people of the city and explains the proposed agreement. Hamor convinces the Hivites that the Israelites were friendly and that they would agree to intermarry and dwell with them as one people. The people agreed, and all of the males were circumcised. But on the third day, we're now in Genesis 34, verses 25 through 27. But on the third day, while the Hivites were still sore and in pain from the circumcision, two of Jacob's sons, Simeon and Levi, those are Dinah's brothers, by the way, took their swords and killed all the males in the city. I hope you hear me right. Two of Jacob's sons, Simeon and Levi, these are Dinah's brothers, took their swords and killed all the males in the city. They also killed Hamor and his son Shechem, the rapist, with the sword. And they took Dinah out of Shechem's house, and they went away. And the other sons of Jacob plundered the city. The sons of Jacob took the Hivites' flocks and their herds and their donkeys, and they took all of their wealth and took their wives and children as captive. So now I'm in verses 30 and 31. Jacob disagreed with the actions that his sons had taken in revenge of the rape of Dinah. He felt that the Canaanites and the Perizzites, and these were two nations that lived around them, that they were larger than him and that they would team up to attack him in retaliation. But Jacob's sons told Jacob that they would not let their sister be treated as a whore. So now let's go to Genesis 35, the next chapter. Verse 1. God tells Jacob to go to Bethel and make an altar there to the God that appeared to him when he fled from Esau. By the way, an altar is any structure upon which offerings, such as sacrifices, are made for worshiping God. It was usually a raised platform with a flat surface. There are over 400 references to altars in the Bible. The word altar is first used in Genesis 8:20 when Noah built an altar to the Lord after leaving the ark. An altar is often built to commemorate a life-changing encounter that a person had with God. Jacob's grandfather, Abraham, had built an altar at Bethel in Genesis 12:7-8 to thank God for the gift of the land of Canaan that God had given him and to his offspring. In Genesis 13, verses 3 and 4, after visiting Egypt, Abraham returned to Bethel and offered a sacrifice to God. Jacob's father Isaac had also built an altar in Genesis 26, verses 24 and 25, to thank God for keeping him during the famine and for protection while he was a foreigner in the land of Abimelech and Gerar. Bethel is mentioned more times in the Old Testament than any other place except Jerusalem. Bethel means the house of God. Bethel was one of the main worship centers in Israel. The Ark of the Covenant was once kept there. So let's continue Genesis 35, verses 2 and 3. Jacob tells his household to put away their idols, purify themselves, change their clothes, and travel with him to Bethel to make an altar and worship the God that has kept him wherever he has gone. Jacob hid their idol gods under a tree at Shechem. The fear of God was upon the cities all around them, so that no one attacked the children of Israel as they traveled to Bethel to worship. It seems to me that the word may have gotten out to the neighboring cities about what Israel had done to the Hivites. But nonetheless, the scriptures are stating that the fear of God fell upon all the cities around them as they were traveling to Bethel to worship God. Verses 7 through 9, now that they have arrived there, Jacob builds an altar and names the place El Bethel, meaning the God of Bethel. Deborah, which was his mother Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried under an oak tree below Bethel. The God of Bethel appears again to Jacob as he is worshiping. By the way, Psalms 22:3 says, God inhabits the praise of his people. When we praise God and worship God, he draws near to us. Just like then, God will show up when we worship him, like he did in Bethel when Jacob was worshiping. Verses 10 through 12, the God of Bethel appears and changes Jacob's name to Israel. That means one who strives or struggles with God. God repeats the promise he had made to Jacob's grandfather Abraham and to Jacob's father Isaac that through his seed, all the nations of the world will be blessed, and that all nations and kings, that many nations and kings will come from Jacob, and that he will receive Canaan, the promised land. Verses 13, 14, and 15, the God of Bethel left Jacob. Jacob set up a pillar of stone in the place to commemorate the occasion. He poured a drink offering on it and anointed it with oil. So Jacob called the place Bethel. Rachel was in hard labor. Verses 16 through 19, Rachel was in hard labor delivering her second child. She died while delivering her son that Jacob named Benjamin. Rachel was buried in Bethlehem. Reuben went and laid with Bilhah, his father's concubine. This is in Genesis 35, verses 20 through 22. One more time. Reuben, his oldest, his firstborn son of Jacob, went and laid with Bilhah, his father Jacob's concubine. And Jacob heard about it, and Israel now has 12 sons. So let me give you a spoiler alert as we fast forward a little bit. Jacob addressed this very issue of Reuben laying with his concubine in Genesis 49, verses 3 to 4, when Jacob was on his deathbed, ready to die, and he was speaking his last words and blessings over his son. Reuben was the firstborn, but like other firstborn sons, especially with Adam, you remember Adam had his firstborn was Cain. Cain was the murderer and killed Adam's secondborn son, Abel, and the blessings of Jesus Christ came through Adam's third son, which was Seth. Abraham's first son was Ishmael. Ishmael, according to scriptures, was a wild ass of a man. The blessing of Abraham and the blessing of Jesus Christ did not come through Ishmael. It came through Isaac, the second-born child of Abraham, the child of promise. And now with Isaac had twins. The firstborn was Esau. The second-born was Jacob. Esau, according to scriptures, was a sexually immoral, godless person. The blessing of Jesus Christ did not go through the bloodline of Esau. It went through Jacob. And now Jacob's firstborn son is Reuben, and Reuben did not receive the firstborn birthright blessing. On his deathbed, Jacob said that Reuben was unstable as water. Think about that. Unstable as water. And that he would not excel. But let's go back to Genesis 35. I'm now in verses 23 through 26. And it recounts the sons of Jacob, which became the 12 tribes. The son of Leah were Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. The sons of Rachel were Joseph and Benjamin. The sons of Bilhah, which was Rachel's maid, was Dan and Naphtali. And the sons of Zilpah, Leah's maid, were Gad and Asher. These were the 12 sons of Jacob who were born to him in Padan Aram. So now as we go to Genesis 35, verses 27 through 29, Isaac is 188 years old and he died. Let me say that one more time. I hope you hear me correctly. Isaac was 188 years old when he died. Esau and Jacob buried him. On a related note, Isaac's father Abraham was 175 years old when he died, and Isaac's mother Sarah was 127 years old when she died. So my question is, where is Jesus in Genesis 34 and 35? Jesus Christ is the promised seed of Jacob through which all of the nations of the world will be blessed. 1 Timothy 2:5 says that Jesus Christ is the only mediator between God and mankind, the only mediator that stands between heaven and earth to reconcile mankind back to God. Jesus Christ is the temple in John 2:19 through 21 that will be destroyed and will be raised up again in 3 days. Revelation 21:22 says that when Jesus Christ returns, there will be no building or no sanctuary for worshiping because Jesus Christ will be our temple and Jesus Christ will be in our presence continually. Jesus Christ was the person that Jacob saw in a dream at Bethel when he was escaping Esau. Jesus Christ was on the ladder or staircase that connected heaven and earth. Jesus Christ is the only mediator between God and mankind. Jesus Christ is the only mediator between heaven and earth. Jesus Christ is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Jesus Christ is the God of Bethel. Jesus is in Genesis. I have news for you. God will never leave us. God will never forsake us. God is making good on all of his promises. God is the same yesterday. God is the same today. God is the same tomorrow. God is the same forever. And just like Jacob, when we worship God, he will draw near to us and bless us. And that's our lesson for today. Genesis 34 and 35, Jacob worships the God of Bethel. Jesus Christ was manifested in the flesh to reconcile fallen mankind back to God. The same God that spoke to Jacob back then is speaking to us today. As we face the global pandemic of COVID-19 at the start of this new year, we need to remember that God is still on the throne. He is still in control. Romans 8:28 says that all things work together. Not some things work together, not most things work together. Romans 8:28 says all things work together for the good of them that love God, for them who are called according to his purpose. All Christians have a spiritual backup. But if you're not saved, I'm offering you the spiritual covering of salvation through Jesus Christ. Accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior will give you the spiritual support, the spiritual backup, and the spiritual strength needed as we face the uncertain days ahead of us in this new year. Romans 10:9-11 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will not be put to shame. If you've decided to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, please repeat this prayer of salvation. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the grave. I'm asking for salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. I pray that you create in me a clean heart and renew within me a right spirit. I pray that I will lead a new life and that I will glorify and honor you daily. In the name of Jesus, I thank you and praise you. Amen. If you prayed that prayer of salvation, welcome to the body of Christ. And as we welcome all new believers to the body of Christ, there's several things you need to know. Many churches are not open, and many churches will not return to regular church services in their sanctuaries until the virus is under control. In light of this reality, here are our recommended next steps for new believers after salvation. Visit our website at www.foundationalbtm.org. Click on the Salvation tab. Read the information about salvation and read the information about the next steps. And here's what you need to do in this COVID-19 world that we're living in today as a new believer. Read your Bible daily. Pray daily. Listen to a church service online each Sunday. When the virus is under control and you feel that it is safe to worship in the church building, join a church where Jesus Christ is being preached. Ask your church to assign an experienced member to mentor and disciple you, and be baptized to publicly confess the spiritual change that has taken place in your life. And if you have any questions about the recommended next steps after salvation for new believers in our current COVID-19 climate, or if you have any questions about the content discussed in today's podcast, please send me an email. My email address is drben@foundationalbtm.org. That's drben@foundationalbtm.org. Why? Because I want you to know what you believe, and I want you to know why you believe it.
If you want additional information on today's podcast topic, feel free to visit our website at www.foundationalbtm.org and download our study guide and answer sheet that accompanies today's podcast topic. We upload new blogs, podcasts, study guides, and answer sheets weekly. If you would like to be notified when new materials have been uploaded, just click on the subscribe tab on our website. We are a listener-supported ministry. Please help the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry continue the work of teaching Bible lessons that equip us with information to help us know what we believe and why we believe it. You can make a donation to help the ongoing work of our ministry by visiting our website at www.foundationalbtm.org. That's foundationalbtm.org. And click on the donation tab. Your generous contribution will be greatly appreciated and will help us continue the work of this ministry. And now, back to Dr. Ben.
There are three ways you can give to support the ongoing work of this ministry. Please visit our website at www.foundationalbtm.org and click on the donation tab and make a tax-free donation of any amount. You will be blessed, and you will be a blessing to others. You can also make a Cash App donation to our ministry at Dr. Ben Pennington, or you can mail your donation to the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry, Post Office Box 1712, that's P.O. Box 1712, Austell, Georgia, 30168. But before you go, let's give you a preview of our next podcast. In our next lesson, we will study the life of Joseph, Jacob's 11th son, and the firstborn son of his beloved wife, Rachel. Jacob's parents were Isaac and Rebekah. Jacob's twin brother was Esau. Isaac favored Esau, and Rebekah favored Jacob. Jacob is now the father of 12 children, and like his parents, he too has a favorite child. Jacob loved Joseph more than any of the other of his children. He gave Joseph a designer robe and had him observe the work that his older brothers were doing and told him to report back to him. His brothers were jealous of him and threw him in a pit and sold him into slavery in Egypt. So I have a few questions. Did Jacob treat all of his children fairly? Did Jacob address and try to resolve the conflict between Joseph and the older brothers? Did Jacob unintentionally put Joseph in harm's way by instructing him to observe his older brothers and report back to him? Was it wise for Joseph to tell his older, jealous brothers about his dreams that they would one day bow down to him? Will Joseph survive as a slave in Egypt? I'm glad you asked. We will discuss these issues and much more in our next Jesus in Genesis podcast, which we've titled Genesis 36 and 37, Joseph, Jacob's firstborn son. This is Dr. Ben, signing off for now. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow.